Welcome to Comic Booked. I am Matthew McLachlan.
And I'm Katie Sexton.
And this is the podcast where I teach Katie and you everything I know about comic book characters.
One character at a time.
Just one.
Only one.
Sometimes we make up another, sometimes we make up few, but we're going to teach you about
one. Intro.
It's going real good.
We're very cozy right now in a very warm way.
Cozy as we can be, goddamn.
It's a very hot summer day and we can't have the air conditioner on right now because, you know, microphones.
And also this being the third episode where we've started it with the air conditioner on and realized that we had to stop and go back because we just don't want to be miserable with four blankets in a hot room with no AC on.
Yeah, it's a dark little cave right now. We have all the lights off, barely any clothes on.
We're looking best we could look right now for each other.
We're like Ace Ventura in the rhino's belly ass. And it's sweaty.
Katie's in loungewear and I am in my own man loungewear of
the Orlando Magic jersey.
But not just any. It is an OG Shaquille O'Neal jersey.
Dude, that's worth money, right?
This is legit from when he was, you know, young and still tall.
Is he not tall anymore?
No, I mean, he was then when he was young and he still is now.
Right.
Maybe eventually, but he's still going to be tall even when he gets old and kind of.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's just he's still tall.
He is still that. Like, he was done growing at this point.
Okay. So you're just letting people know that no matter what, he's still tall.
He was, he is, and will be, even if he shrinks, you know?
You know, everybody shrinks a little bit when they get older. The bones condense, they get brittle and tiny.
He's still going to be 17 feet tall. He can be hunched over, and people are still going to be yelling up past his knees and be like, hey, shoot a free throw. Don't stomp on me.
Were you a Space Jam fan?
Am I a human goddamn being? Of course.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he wasn't in that.
He wasn't, was he?
No.
No.
Charles Barkley.
Oh, well, I mean, Shaquille O'Neal, is he a good basketball player or is he just Shaquille O'Neal?
He's a mountain. He'd just like walk through people and excuse me, and just mush them and he goes through.
I don't remember him being known for his basketball playing, though. He was just more of a personality, right?
No, he could dunk. He could rebound. Yeah. He was a big, giant beast. But you get him on the shooting time, on the shooting line. He's...
Oh, right. When it's like 3 seconds left on the clock.
And someone give it to Shaq, he just kind of puts the ball down and be like, why did you do that? I'm Shaq.
Oh, he can't throw?
He's not very good at shooting.
Oh, I thought you said he was.
No, he's not good.
Guys, don't give it to Shaq.
No.
That's what I'm saying. He's an okay basketball player, but it's his personality that really shows.
No, but that's the thing. We're mixing up signals here. He was a good basketball player. He couldn't really shoot good, but he could jump in and dunk.
And called it drunking.
He can drunk it and spunk it, and he can just get all over that damn court. He's okay. So long, he could basically Michael Jordan in the end of Space Jam. Extend his arm, but he's not a cartoon. He's just a giant man the length of a whole basketball field.
Do you know how tall he is? You keep talking about how big he is.
Shaq is 7'1" tall.
Holy moly, that's a tree.
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know you could be. You know what I mean? I didn't know that people really could be that tall. Like, why are people that tall?
You always see the pictures of the celebrities or them next to other people. Like, Kevin Hart looks like a piece of him fell off and just became sentient.
Yeah.
Like, he could put him in a pocket.
Yeah, just carry him around.
Be like, what am I sitting on? Oh, a Kevin Hart. Oops.
Yeah.
And then Kevin Hart is the exact opposite. Like, I can't take him seriously for a freaking second. He's just so goddamn adorable.
He's very cute.
He's covered in tattoos and he's ripped.
Is he?
You wouldn't think any of that because he's 4 inches tall.
He's got such a smile.
Yeah.
He's got such a sweet, sweet smile.
He looks like a wonderful man.
Yeah.
And him and The Rock have the bromance that I want in my romance.
I feel like they're kind of doing what Jackie Chan and
Chris Tucker
did. I feel like they're very that to me.
Oh, so The Rock and Kevin Hart, Rush Hour 4. Rush Hour, Traffic Time, the movie.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Rush Hour,
gotta get home.
Gotta get home, cooking's on.
Rush Hour, I'm running out of gas.
Rush Hour, time's up.
Rush Hour, me too.
Rush Hour Rush. And the whole movie is a circle.
Oh.
Because it goes around.
Uh-huh.
So then when you watch the movie from the end backwards, it's the same movie as if you watch it forwards.
I'd pay $20 to see that.
Yeah. Starring The Rock, Kevin Hart, Keanu Reeves.
And Sandra Bullock.
Sandra Bullock and Jaleel White, who was Steve Urkel.
Perfect. What a great cast.
God. Well, hey, you want to see who you're going to learn about today?
I really do.
That's great.
Yeah.
So this is what I'm going to do, Katie. I'm going to show you a picture.
Uh-huh.
And you're going to tell me who you think this is and what you think their powers are, okay?
Okay.
Great. Here they are.
Okay. Oh, gosh. Okay. Okay. Okay.
Yeah?
I mean, I'm going to be blunt about this.
Blunt.
This is a robot man.
Okay.
This is a robot man with still a cape, which doesn't make sense to me. If you're a robot, you don't need any cloth. You don't need cloth.
You don't want the wetness to get in your gears, huh?
I think it's just for show. There's no point to have a cape at this point when you're full steel.
So he's a show-off robot.
Yeah, he's a show-off robot. He's a little fancy. I mean, this is a literal, dare I say, man of steel.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Thank you. Yeah, this looks like he's got the Superman symbol.
Looks like it, huh?
Guys, I mean, that's what I'm looking at here. He's got the Superman symbol on his chest. He's got rock hard steel abs.
He's got those big steel abs.
You know what he has? So he also has this like hammer, this like seemingly Thor-like hammer.
Sure.
I'm doing good today.
You're doing real good. It's a little bit longer than Thor's hammer. It's got a little bit longer stem.
Not all hammers look the same.
No, and it's not always about the handle. It's about the knob that you hit with.
Sure, as long as you know how to use it, you know?
Well, hey, who is this?
This is Flash Angel.
Yeah,
he's flashy.
Okay.
And he's from like another, like he's from the sky for sure. You know what I mean? Like he's heavenly in a way, you know? He's not of this earth.
Because he's just flashy?
He's shiny. He's
a bit of a show-off.
He's
though.
A bit of a show-off.
Sure.
He's got these details on his armor that like aren't necessary. You know what I mean? Like, here's the thing. It's like two worlds colliding here. It's like this armor. I don't think it's armor. I think it's just robot. I should be specific about
that. So this
is
just a bot.
This is a bot.
Inside is just a beep boop, beep boop.
Yeah, I don't think there's anybody inside of this.
All right.
Yeah, I really don't think so. But it is like detailed in ways that aren't necessarily, like they're not necessary for a robot. Do you know what I mean?
Well, whomever programmed him made him want to look real fancy.
Yeah.
Gave him a little bit of an ego, it seems.
Sure. Yeah, Flash Angel, like, he's a flashy guy.
So what are his powers, you think?
His powers are, here's the thing. So he's a stripper by day. He's a male stripper, I guess by night, too. And he gets a lot of really good clients.
Okay.
So that's his undercover, you know what I mean?
Can I ask what he's taking off?
It's more like a burlesque artist.
Okay.
That's what he uses the cape for. That's why he has the cape. So it's part of his routine.
So it's not to zoom and go quick and be like, look, I'm a hero. It's more of like grab the tail end and be like, da-dun, da-dun, da-dun. Cover his little chest. He's like, mwah.
Yeah, he's a little tease. And then, you know, if you pay extra, you get to see his gears, you know?
So is the cape covering him, and then when he reveals his gears, that's kind of like the business? That's like his burlesque
that's
business?
That's like the big reveal, yeah.
Like, look at my shiny nuts.
Yeah. Sometimes it's political art, too. It's like political burlesque, you know?
Can you please tell me exactly what that means?
A lot of it's about the struggle of the lower class and the top 1%.
Right.
His dick is the top 1%.
Sure, I get that.
And everything else is the lower class. So he reveals each bit until you start to realize, wow, there's so much lower class and there's only 1% of the richest people, and it's his gears.
And I can't imagine his bits and bolts downstairs are pretty big if he's making a metaphor for his body being the people.
Right.
And the 1% being his gear rod.
His gear rod. Well, you know, I've not seen it myself. But sure, I've heard not. It got really great reviews in the New York Times.
So what are his powers?
What are his powers? His powers are... are, okay, I'm gonna be honest about this. He's not a good guy.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah, that long-ass hammer.
That long-ass hammer.
Yeah, it's not good.
What is it not good for?
He,
absolutely nothing.
Absolutely nothing. He hates nature.
Oh, man.
So we know what he does?
What?
He cuts down, you know, the rainforests.
With a hammer?
With his hammer. He slams volcanoes, makes them explode. He causes tsunamis.
So he basically is the complete opposite of Mother Nature. He is a robotic man who destroys the earth with no organic matter.
No organic matter. He's not from the earth.
Oh,
right? Flash Angel.
Angels
are not of this earth.
Oh, so he was sent by God.
An alien god.
An alien god. I mean, who else is God, honestly?
Yeah. No, he's sent from an alien god to destroy Earth one bit at a time.
With one smashy long hammer at a time.
Yeah. I mean, climate change is not real. It's him.
The Republicans must like this guy.
Oh, yeah. They love the color red, so.
Sure.
Yeah.
So he was made by alien god? I just wanted to clear that up.
No, that's it. He's made by an alien god.
Hey, you want to know who this really is?
Tell me.
Great. So this character's name is Dr. John Henry Irons II.
Okay. Ironic. Yeah, Irons.
A.K.A. Steel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His name is Steel.
Just Steel.
Steel is in the DC universe,
mm-hmm.
and he is a hero.
He is a hero.
He is a hero.
Huh.
This might be the first episode where I think that you thought
he was bad.
He was bad.
Yeah, I guess he was bad, but I guess he's good,
he looks
huh?
gruff. He looks like he's ready for a fight.
Yeah.
Looks like he's ready to punch a mountain in the balls and get these things exploding and just go pray to his alien Jesus.
Yeah.
You want some powers on this Steel?
Yeah.
So John Henry Irons, he is a genius engineer and an inventor.
Nice. So he is in the suit.
He's in it.
Wow, I was wrong this time, huh?
Yeah, but you got so many right, and I'll tell you why in a little bit.
Okay.
You also said steel about 40 times, so you're in there.
Yeah.
So he has powered armor suit, which gives him superhuman strength, durability, and endurance.
Nice. Seems heavy, though.
It's got to be heavy.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a big man. He's like 6'8", I think.
All these big guys tonight.
Uh-huh.
Jeez.
So he can carry around this damn suit. And it's because he's a genius engineer and inventor. He's made it to where he can move around. He can breathe. He can shoot some hoops, some free throws. And land them. This powered suit also gives them the power. Your favorite, flight.
I was hoping.
Yeah.
I want them all to fly.
Yeah, of course.
You know?
Gives him superhuman burlesque abilities. So he can just shimmy and shake his little titty bits all over the damn place.
Yeah.
The suit also has cybernetic weapons. So those little things you saw on the little engravings and all this stuff, those are little things that pop up. That was the little suction cup dart that just kind of landed on someone.
Oh, wow.
And then blew up because it was made of dynamite.
Got it. It was really good.
So he has cybernetic weapons and he can blow the hell out of just everyone and everything because he's basically a flying steel weapon.
Beautiful.
The suit also gives him communication and sensor arrays. So he can talk to everybody and he can hear, see, smell, and taste.
You know what I think is interesting?
Tell me.
You know, you see a lot of movies or people that are wearing these massive helmets and then the camera goes inside the helmet.
Yeah.
They can move their head as if it's almost like a dome and they're like looking at different things. I feel like this guy's helmet, it's so tight.
It's his face.
Yeah, it's too tight on his face to be able to do that, but it can still do that.
Yeah, these people look like they're looking around inside of a beach ball. I'm looking at your mask
It's
thinner than your fat head and I don't know how you're looking around like, well, let me look over here with my little communication array.
Yeah.
Sorry, Robert Downey Jr. You're not looking at anything.
That's bullshit.
That's bullshit.
Robert
Downey
Jr. Idiot.
So basically, any way technology can make you like Superman, that's what he's done. He's made himself, who is a human, who is just really, really smart and buff as hell.
Yeah.
He's just made himself a Superman suit.
Dang. Taking it into his own hands.
Own damn hands.
Yeah.
And last power, he wields a seemingly indestructible mallet.
Yeah.
They couldn't even give him the dignity to call it a hammer.
Mallet.
It's
a
mallet.
Mallet's not
like... Pretty soft, huh?
Yeah.
I kind of don't want either of those things being thrown at me. But if you're like, I'm going to throw this hammer, I'm like, whoa, please don't. He said, I'm going to throw this mallet. Oh, Oh, I got that.
Yeah, well, it sounds like a wooden toy mallet is what it sounds like.
Yeah, or the little soft black that it's like, it's going to hurt, but it might just jam a thingy. It's not going to be like, ow, you broke my spleen because the stabby bit of the hammer got stuck.
It's going to hurt.
So the hammer has technology inside of it that can detect weak points on enemies. So he throws it and it kind of just decides where to hit them.
Oh, my God.
It's always going to be the nuts, right? It's got to be.
It's everyone's weakness. It's my weakness, too.
He throws it right at their face and it just goes down. It's like, oh, God. He's like, I made this hammer too smart.
Yeah. I should just aim for the nuts instead of making this complicated computer.
When he throws the mallet, it gets faster and stronger the longer it goes.
That's what she said.
Throwing your mallet, it gets longer and faster the longer it goes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, 2009. Let's take that back.
Good year. It's a good year.
So when he throws that hammer, it is as strong as Superman throwing a heavy punch. So he can do damage to basically anyone doing that damn thing.
Does he have a crush on Superman?
Oh, we'll get to that.
Okay.
He's got a friend crush.
Sounds like it. Admiration. I bet Superman's probably pissed. He's like, what?
Nah, he loves this damn guy.
Now he loves. Oh, they're buddies.
They're buds.
All right.
Tell you why right now. You want some bio on the Steel?
Tell me more.
So Steel, you know, ye old day, lost parents to violence, gun violence. And instead of going in something sad, like raising an orphanage or something like that, he's like, this sucks. This area I was in took my parents. I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to be as smart as I can be.
Oh.
And I'm going to go to college.
Yeah.
And he trained himself to basically become the smartest person around.
Yeah, heck yeah.
He went to an Ivy League school. He was a genius. And so he took all those smarts and he became a weapons engineer.
Oh.
I don't really understand how you go from it kill my parents, so let me create that. That's like if Batman then went and was like, well, I'm just going to become a crimp. Well, I guess he does do that. Oh, shit.
Oh, my gosh.
So he becomes a weapons engineer, and eventually he quit when he saw that the company that he worked for was using the weapons to kill innocent people.
Yeah, that's not okay.
Going on the streets.
No, he's better than that.
But as a weapons engineer, as your job on LinkedIn, what did you think? Like, you're not having, like, wacky fun time guns.
I feel like weapons aren't necessarily... They can be cyber weapons and, like...
Doing what?
I don't know. Protecting your country. I don't know. I'm not for it. I don't like violence. I'm not saying he did a good thing.
What would be a positive gun? Shoot you and make you feel the feeling that you just had your favorite ice cream and you don't feel guilty after it?
Sprinkles.
Oh, man.
Or a t-shirt gun. A t-shirt gun.
At point blank, they're sent all the way across the stadium.
Yeah, those are the best kind.
So in the comics, Superman fights a being called Doomsday.
Okay.
And Superman is killed.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a big event. And for a while, Superman was really dead in the comics.
Oh.
And before he dies, Superman saves John's life. And John says, how can I make it up for you? And he says, live a life worth saving.
Oh.
Superman, you fucking... God bless America.
You poet.
God bless you.
Oh, man, that's good.
So after Superman dies, a whole bunch of people come out of the woodwork and say, I'm Superman, or I'm going to be the new Superman. And they kind of start fighting each other.
Fools.
Superman fools.
Clowns.
Super fools. Some of them were just buck wild. Like, one was half robot, half Superman. Kind of like, oh, my God.
He just sounds like he's hurt.
I was half made by
Ouch.
Earth and alien Jesus.
Kill me, somebody.
Kill me. So John decides to join that damn party, and he took Superman's words to heart, and he creates his steel smart suit, and thus becomes the literal Man of Steel.
Literally.
He started fighting all these damn jabronis and just started beating them with his heavy old mallet.
Damn jabronis.
And eventually Superman comes back and is like, thank you. You can stop now. I'm fucking Superman.
Mm-hmm.
But they stay friends, and Steel goes and fights his old company to stop all the weapons that were on the streets.
Oh, good.
So he goes back, and he's like, hey, I'm a weapon now. Come at me, bro.
For good. Here's a t-shirt.
I got my cannons. They see these three giant cannons over his shoulder, and they're like, oh, my God. And then he just shoots the softest cotton.
Softest.
It was just like, ow, wow, it's my size.
How did he know?
It shoots it, and it goes onto them.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then they fall asleep, and that's how he defeats them.
Yeah, and then they start sucking their thumb, and he picks them up, and he puts them in his little steel prison on his back.
Oh, yeah.
And they're all sleeping in there.
Takes them to jail.
Takes them to sleep jail. His tech got better and better, having it fly onto his body at a moment's notice.
Yeah.
Even getting to the point where it could become part of his skin and morphing with his suit.
Oh.
To where his skin was literal steel. And so he just goes, I'm steel. That's my steel voice. Yeah. So yeah, he has the ability to basically become the steel now.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Eventually, Steel retires and starts a giant laboratory called Ironworks and becomes Superman's tech guy, even building him a brand new Fortress of Solitude.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so nice. What a great guy.
Yeah. So he just starts doing his own lab and trying to make weapons that are good and trying to do what he thought his company was going to do, but did not. And so he's trying to
make up for lost time.
Yeah. You know, this story is loosely based on the folk tale of John Henry. Have you ever heard of that?
Oh, with the hammer.
Of the hammer. It's the 1920s steel driver, John Henry.
Yeah.
So this is a character loosely based off of that folktale. That's why his name is Dr. John Henry Irons.
Oh, wow. Is John Henry in the folktale is a black man, right?
He's a black man.
Is he also a black man in this?
He's a black man. Yep.
That's great.
Yep.
Good.
A great superhero of color and seemingly stronger and smarter than Superman.
Yeah, dude.
He's really,
really
awesome
cool.
And not seen nearly as much as he should. But wow. I just thought that was really cool because I always liked that folk tale. Mm-hmm. And for those of you who don't know, John Henry was a steel driver and would take a bit of steel and ram it into the rock to break a hole so that they could plant dynamite and blow up so they can clear way for the railroad and all these things.
Right.
And in the industrial age, they started inventing these machines that could do the power of 10 men. And he challenged it and he won, but died of heart failure at the very end.
Do you know if that's a true story?
There are places that they think it actually happened and people they think it's based on, yeah.
Interesting.
Katie, all of this was planned by me. I hope you understand that I wore this jersey for a reason.
Why?
Because there was a steel film in 1997 starring Shaquille O'Neal.
No, there wasn't.
Absolutely, there was.
Oh my God. So, oh my God.
The whole time? Shaquille O'Neal starred in the movie Steel, 1997, because he always calls himself the Man of Steel and wears Superman symbols a lot. And so they're like, well, let's make a Steel movie. Shaq's kind of a big deal, literally, and making some money. So let's say cannot fail. This movie currently has a 12% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, man.
And it's no bueno.
Have you watched it?
I've seen bits when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And it was probably good because I was a child.
Dumb kid.
I was just a dumb kid who loves Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks really bad. You want to see a picture of him as Steel?
Sure. Oh, that looks bad. That looks so bad. No.
Mm-hmm. Shaq, yeah.
That's not a great costume. They didn't do the costume right.
No. The budget for this movie was $16 million. You want to guess how much it made?
Oh, no. How much?
Tell me.
$25,000.
It made $1.7 million.
Close.
Yeah.
That's awful.
And that's about it for Steel.
Oh.
You got any questions about Steel?
Why did you want to share them with me today?
Well, I think with John Henry being really one of the first heroes in America, really, with being a folktale, and folktales basically being the original superheroes in a way.
Sure.
That being a man of color who beat a fucking machine.
Yeah.
I always thought that was so cool. And I remember watching the movie Tall Tales when I was a kid, and that was so fun.
Yeah.
I loved it. And I think that, unfortunately, it's not really too much different in the comic world these days. And with Steel, he's one of the only main characters of color. Also, most of the characters of color, when you have them as genius level IQ, is a rarity. You never see that.
It's upsetting.
And I just think that he's really great. And also, he's got a fucking mallet. Thor's got the little one-hander, and he's got a baseball bat with a goddamn brick on the end.
It's like an anvil.
It's an anvil.
He's got an anvil on the end of there.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's really badass.
He has a niece, I believe, at one point that he creates a suit for.
Oh.
And so then you have a young woman of color who's, I believe, he tutors and stuff, and she becomes a genius too. So she's got her own hammer mallet that she's beating people up with and fighting in the Teen Titans and stuff.
Oh, she's in the Teen Titans.
I think so, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's great.
That's so cool. Thanks for sharing him with me.
Yeah, I love him. He's really good. I'd love to see a new movie.
Let's do a reboot with, God, who could play him?
We were just watching Sweet Tooth.
Yeah.
And the gentleman in that, I'm forgetting his name, but he is very, very tall and would be really great in that. The gentleman from Game of Thrones and Sweet Tooth on Netflix. Nonso Anozie, I believe. Apologize if I'm getting that wrong, but he is very, very good, and he would be very good as Steel. That's my vote.
He's got my vote, too.
I mean, Michael Clark Duncan would have been a shoo-in, for sure.
Sure. He is just so good. Oh, my God.
Okay, is there something you want to teach me about? You want to crack open my Steel helmet and just be like, gosh, there's a whole bunch of boof in here. Let's just put it in there.
Hey, Matt.
Yeah?
What do you know about Avril Lavigne?
I knew she said, see you later, boy, to a skater boy.
Yeah, something like that.
I do know some things you might be telling me.
Okay.
But I know that she married
uh-huh.
the lead singer of Sum 41
uh-huh.
and then divorced him and really upgraded and married the singer of Nickelback.
That is one of my, those are two of my facts that you just stole right out of my mouth.
Really bad.
Not the best taste in gentlemen. No, but let's talk a little bit about this punk rock princess.
Yeah, she's got the royalty going.
Yeah. So she's from Canada.
Okay.
She's from Napanee, Ontario.
God bless you. Ontario? Hey, if I fuck up words, you have to keep going.
She's from Napanee, Ontario. She's Canadian.
Great.
It's such a small town that there's only one pizza shop, and they named a pizza after her.
What is it called? Skater Boy?
It's called the Avril Lavigne.
Oh.
And it consists of pepperoni, olives, and mushrooms.
Oh, because of the eyeliner.
Yeah, the eyeliner, definitely.
And pepperoni because of the hair.
Because of the hair.
And the mushrooms because she dates a lot of fun guys.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
She was named Avril after the French word for April, which is apparently Avril.
a lot of steps there, I think.
Yeah.
Just call her April.
Well, there are a lot of French up in the Canada.
You just go up, you'll eventually get there.
You'll get to the French parts.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was discovered by her manager while singing country cover songs in a Chapters bookstore.
First of all, what are you doing singing in a bookstore?
I mean...
Be quiet.
Yeah.
Shut up.
It's a bookstore. People are reading.
Also, country? That's the worst thing to be singing in a bookstore.
She was a country singer. That's what her first love was country. She won a contest and opened for Shania Twain, who's also from Canada.
Okay. We got to pause for a second.
It's too much.
Too many things here.
Yeah.
Is it like because it's so north, it's south again? I'm confused. Like, can't imagine there's a lot of southern bumpkins in the French part of Canada.
I mean, apparently there is.
Okay.
Yeah, apparently.
Let's get to the Shania Twain part. What the hell?
Yeah, she won a radio contest and opened for Shania Twain.
How the hell did Shania Twain get there?
Shania Twain's from Canada.
No, I understand, but from Canada to stardom.
There's a lot of very talented Canadians.
Well, that don't impress me much.
When she got signed, she immediately... Okay, first of all, let's go back. She's 15 when she gets discovered. I didn't realize how young she was. She's 15.
Oh.
She immediately gets signed to a $1.25 million record deal.
Oh, it's almost more than what Steel made at the box office.
Exactly. With a $900,000 advance. So she dropped out of school. She didn't finish she didn't finish high school.
Obviously. She said see you later, school.
Said see you later.
Don't be another fool. Get a fucking record contract. Open for Shania.
That's what happened. Like I said, she ended up marrying the lead singer of Sum 41 and then got divorced and then married Chad, what's his fuck?
Kroger
from Nickelback.
Mm.
She was known for, you know, her punk sound and she was called the anti-Britney.
Oh, well, that's really interesting until now.
Yeah, and she was like, no, I'm just doing whatever I want. Don't call me the anti-Britney. She's like, whatever.
She's like, I'm going to say damn and run on cars. And I'm going to
wear a tie.
Well, look at that. It's not even going to be tight. It's going to be loose.
It's a loose tie around my neck.
Look at my hair. It's dirty.
In 2007, she was featured in a 2-volume graphic novel called Make 5 Wishes about a shy girl who meets Avril Lavigne and learns how to overcome her fears.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. Good. Avril.
It's Avril. Yeah.
She's what? She's like 50 now? How old is she?
If she was like...
15 in 2004. She's 47 now.
I feel like she's probably in her early 40s.
Yeah.
Late 30s, early 40s.
Well, she's like our age, huh?
Yeah, I think so.
So we're... We're not going to tell you.
In our early 40s. We're not, though. I'm so fucking young. The last little bit that I'm going to share with you, I think is so funny. Sir Ian McKellen.
Oh, God, yes.
Once described her as a punk chanteuse, a post-grunge Valkyrie with a wounded soul of a poet and the explosive pugnacity of a Canadian.
Ian, what the fuck are you doing?
Ian McKellen Love.
Did you have nothing to do on the set of Lord of the Rings that you're like, put on?
Complicated.
Why does everything have to be so complicated?
It's an interesting Ian McKellen
impression. I'm going for it. He's just on the set trying to throw in Avril lyrics.
There's a couple Avril lyrics in Lord of the Rings and no one's picked them up yet.
Frodo, I don't know why you had to go and make things so complicated.
And that's it. That's all I got on Avril Lavigne.
That's so cool.
Yeah, you know, a little callback.
In your research, did you stumble upon any of the conspiracy theories about the fact that Avril Lavigne died and that someone else who looked just like her took over?
No.
There is a very, very large movement about the fact that someone who is a huge fan of hers, they believe that it was very much like a Paul McCartney thing where she died and she took over Avril Lavigne's career.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I don't think that's real.
It probably is.
Do people say that about Paul McCartney?
You never heard that?
I never heard that about Paul McCartney.
Yeah. They thought Paul was dead.
That's Paul. It's Paul.
No, there's a whole thing where he was in a car accident and someone who they did have pictures of him looked just like Paul. And there's a lot of evidence leaning towards that. They then got this guy and trained him to play music. And that led to him and John kind of having their falling out because it wasn't the same as him and Paul.
Oh, that's silly.
Yeah.
I don't have time for that. People don't. It's dumb.
Yeah, why do you have to go and make things so complicated? You know? So that song was about a boy not being true to himself and being, you know, one person when he's with her, when he's holding her hand, and then someone else when the boys roll up and they're like, yeah. Yo, chat.
He's just insecure. And she's like, what the heck, dude? Like, stop being so dang insecure. Just be yourself.
I see the way you're acting. It's got me frustrated.
Yeah, it's good. You know? Yeah, it's from the song.
Hey, what'd you teach me about Avril Lavigne?
I don't know.
Okay. See ya. My name's fucking Matthew McLachlan.
My name's fucking Keith.
And you have been Comic Booked.